I invite you now to hear the proclamation of John the Baptist. In those days, John the Baptist appeared in the wilderness of Judea, proclaiming, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near." This is the one of whom the prophet Isaiah spoke when he said, "The voice of one crying out in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight." Now John wore clothing of camel's hair with a leather belt around his waist, and his food was locusts and wild honey. Then the people of Jerusalem and all Judea were going out to him and all the region along the Jordan, and they were baptized by him in the river Jordan, confessing their sins. But when he saw many Pharisees and Sadducees coming for baptism, he said to them, "You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bear fruit worthy of repentance. Do not presume to say to yourselves, 'We have Abraham as our ancestors.' For I tell you, God is able from these stones to raise up children to Abraham. Even now, the axe is lying at the root of trees. Every tree, therefore, that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. I baptize you with water for repentance, but one who is coming is more powerful than I, and I am not worthy to carry his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire." My friends, this is the word of God for us, the people of God. And we give thanks to God for it. Do you remember the uncertainty of answering the telephone prior to caller ID? When you would pick up the phone and have no idea who would be calling? You said hello, and you never had an idea who would be on the other idea, or was on the other end of the call. There was no such thing as screening your phone calls. And yet, I'm sure you can also remember a time when you did pick it up. And as soon as the other person said, "Hello, how are you?" instantly, you knew exactly who it was. And you immediately begin to talk and pick up where you last left off with your conversation. Now, how did you know who it was? You recognize their voice, right? There are certain people whose voice we know so well that as soon as we hear them on the phone or hear their voice on a recording or even hear their voice from across a crowded room, we know exactly who it is because we recognize their voice. But in order for us to get to the point where we can recognize someone simply by the sound of their voice, one of two things need to occur. Either there needs to be something unique or different about their voice, or we need to become very familiar with that person. Well, my friends, today we hear a familiar voice of Advent. In our text from the Gospel of Matthew, we hear John the Baptist crying out in the wilderness, "Repent, the kingdom of God is coming. Change your life. Prepare for the coming of the King." Every first Sunday in Advent, John the Baptist appears. He's one of the most important characters of the Christmas season, calling us to repent, to get ready for what is to come. And yet, we find him no other place in the church. John the Baptist usually only appears this one Sunday of the year. I cannot imagine him ever portrayed on the front of a Christmas card. I've never heard these lyrics portrayed in a Christmas song or on the radio. John the Baptist is just too wild for the traditional celebration of Jesus' birth. Who wants to see a desert nomad dressed in camel's hair, eating locusts and honey in the midst of a peaceful manger scene? John, next to the wise men, would be like a homeless man straight off the street who finds himself in the middle of the glitz and glamour of the performance of the Mormon Tabernacle Choir. It just wouldn't fit. John is far too radical for our beautiful, peaceful, comfortable celebrations of Jesus' birth. And yet every Advent, the church calendar insists that we visit John in the wilderness before we make the trek to Bethlehem to see the newborn king. Every Advent, we must come face to face with John the Baptist and his fiery message of repentance. For if we are not ready to hear his message, the Bible says we are not ready to receive the newborn king. As a forerunner to the Messiah, John's message of a changed heart was a wake-up call to the people in Israel to prepare for the coming of God's chosen one to earth. Like the ancient prophets of Israel, John did not mince words when he reminded them of God's faithfulness to his people. And he encouraged them to renew their relationship with God by turning back to a life of faith, by turning away from the world and turning back to God. And so today, a voice cries out in the wilderness. A voice cries out in the sanctuary. Repent. Change your life. For God's kingdom is coming. John is saying to the people of God, Emmanuel might not come today, but he will be here soon. Are you ready? If not, you better get ready now. Not tomorrow or sometime in the future. Now is the time to repent, to get your life back on track. For the kingdom of God is at hand. John called the Israelite people to confess their sins, to be baptized as a sign of their repentance, as a symbol that they had changed the direction of their lives from the ways of the world back to the ways of God. And John proclaimed it was only through this repentance would they be ready to welcome the Messiah and usher in God's kingdom ways. And so it is for us today. Pastor Don Schultz says this. He writes, of all the Christmas decorations, this one is the most important of them all, an attitude of repentance. It's the most important, and yet no one can see it. It's invisible because it is a change that takes place inside of you. My friends, that's what John was illustrating with his lifestyle. He didn't wear fancy clothes or carry a Louis Vuitton bag. He wore camel's hair, the clothing of the poor of the day would wear. His leather belt was considered something cheap. His grasshopper and honey diet was the diet of the poor and underprivileged. He lived in the open desert rather than in a nice shelter of the hills. Do you see the point John was making with his life? He's saying, what I'm doing on the outside, I want you to do on the inside. Get rid of your love of things, your materialism. Get rid of your pride. Be someone who is humble, someone who is focused on spiritual things, someone who is focused on worshiping God and serving others. And so is the call for us. What John did on the outside is what we should do on the inside. Confess our sins and turn back to God. Today, John is calling us to accept the responsibility of our own actions, to ask forgiveness of God and of others for the ways in which we have allowed sin to control our emotions, our attitudes, our actions. Today, John calls us not only to a changed heart, but a changed life. Because when we change on the inside, it will transform not only how we think, but how we act. Another name for this kind of repentance, this complete turnaround, is the Greek word metanoia. Metanoia is a complete change of heart, will, and mind. Metanoia is a complete change in the way that we live. It is a turn from our sinful ways to holy ways. When we move from selfishness to obedience to God. When we turn from following the world's ways to following God's ways. Metanoia begins with naming and confessing our sins. Recognizing and feeling sorry for what we have done wrong and failed to do. Recognizing and confessing our part of injustice and oppression, gossip, and other isms, sexism. Recognizing and confessing when we have been paralyzed by fear. When that has stopped us from living or speaking our faith in Christ. After naming and confessing our sins, then we make the life change, not only asking for forgiveness for what we have done wrong, but changing our behaviors. Metanoia is this turning away from what we have done wrong and turning towards a new way of life. A great example of metanoia is found in the Charles Dickens classic, A Christmas Carol. Anyone familiar with Ebenezer Scrooge? He's this old man who does not like anyone but himself. His response to Merry Christmas is, "Bah humbug." He never acts to help others, acts only when it benefits himself. Yet as the story goes, Scrooge is visited by the ghost of Christmas past, present, and future. And he begins to see himself and his actions for what they are, cruel, stingy, and self-serving. And as he begins to see his true self revealed, Scrooge experiences metanoia, a complete change of character, will, and spirit. And by the end of the story, Scrooge is a new man. A changed life. He becomes this generous person, giving away money, presents, food, and warm wishes to everyone. His attitudes, actions, and his spirit have all changed, from stinginess to sharing, from thinking only of himself to putting others first. What Ebenezer Scrooge experienced was metanoia. A complete dramatic turnaround. And my friends, that metanoia is what John the Baptist is calling us to today. We are called to change, to be open, to prepare for God's arrival in our lives, to smooth out the rough roads, to get rid of all of the obstacles that prevent us from a life of faith. Max Licato tells the story of a man who had been a slob his whole life. He just couldn't comprehend the logic of neatness. Why make up the bed in the morning if you're going to sleep in it again that night? Why screw on the lid to the toothpaste tube if you're going to brush your teeth again the next morning? He was openly honest about being compulsively messy. But then this man got married. His wife was not messy. She was patient, however. She said she didn't mind his habits as long as he didn't mind sleeping on the couch. Well, he did mind sleeping on the couch. So he began to change. He said he enrolled in a 12-step program for slobs. A physical therapist helped him to rediscover the muscles needed to hang his shirts up and placing toilet paper on the hanger. His nose was reintroduced to the smell of Pine Sol. And by the time his in-laws arrived for Thanksgiving dinner, he was a new man. But then came the moment of truth. His wife went out of town for a week. At first, he converted to the old man. He figured he could be a slob for 6 days and clean up on the seventh. But something strange happened. He could no longer relax with dirty dishes in the sink or towels flung on the bathroom floor or sheets piled up on the mountain, like a mountain on the bed. What had happened to this man? It is simple. He had been exposed to a higher standard of living. And my friends, that's what Jesus Christ does for us. Each Advent, we hear the cry of John the Baptist, and we are called to a higher standard of living, to God's standard of living. We are called to change our lives from selfishness to faithfulness in order that we might be open to Christ and Christ's message of hope, joy, peace, and love. But this life change, this metanoia, this turnaround, it is not easy. But it is the way, the truth, and the life to which God calls us. Several years ago, my Aunt Dottie, who was an elementary school principal, shared the story of a former student who was the class troublemaker, the one who was always getting in trouble, always not doing his homework, acting out. The student constantly challenged his teachers, many giving up on him as a hopeless case. And yet when my aunt ran into him many years later, this student had experienced a complete turnaround in his life and was now a successful businessman and husband. For you see, when he was in his 20s, someone had invited him to church. And that one invitation began his experience of metanoia, his turning back to God, and this transformation in all areas of his life. True repentance is recognized in the fruits that we bear. It is seen in our character and conduct, our appearance and integrity. What counts in our lives are the fruits that we bear for Christ. What will that look like for you this holiday season? As you wait in checkout lines, can others see Christ in your cheerful presence? As you attend holiday parties and get-togethers and concerts, will others see Christ in your attitudes and actions? As you interact with family members and friends, will they experience Christ's love, joy, and forgiveness through your daily actions? What will your conduct and appearance say about Christ this holiday season? That he is the Lord of your lives? Or an afterthought that you sometimes give 60 minutes to once a week? My friends, every Advent, we must come face to face with John the Baptist and his fiery message. Repent, change your life, for God's kingdom is here. John calls us to bear good fruit that shows indeed we have repented. We have turned away from our sins. We have changed our hearts and indeed changed our lives. How will you heed that call to repent and get ready for the coming of Christ this year? At the manger, in your life today and someday at his second coming. This morning, as we gather at the communion table, we are each offered an opportunity to repent. We are offered the chance to turn back from all of those thoughts and habits and actions that have taken us out of step with God. We are invited to move back again in harmony with God's vision for us and for the world. So let's come to this holy meal during this season of great expectation, seeking to find again the one who first called us to follow him, and the one who walks beside us every day. May we listen and learn from John the Baptist today. And may we respond and be ready for the coming of Christ. May it be so. Let us pray. Be with us, Holy God, as we seek to respond today to the call of John the Baptist, to repent, to change our lives, to prepare for your coming kingdom. And be patient with us, God, because most of us are slow learners, lukewarm believers, and excellent excuse makers. As we prepare to come to your table this morning, remind us that your grace is greater than our pride, foolishness, and weakness. Remind us that your Son came to us, loved us, lived for us, died for us, and rose for us. Help us to learn from him how to live differently, to experience metanoia in our hearts and lives today. This we pray in his holy name. Amen.